Hey guys, welcome to the Talk That Talk podcast. You are listening to episode 2 with Kayla Warnick, and this was such a privilege for me to get to talk to Kayla. Kayla is my longtime friend. We've known each other for a while now. She was actually my Young Life leader in high school, and we continued to just stay best friends after that. And I feel like we're just a part of each other's families now, which is really awesome. And you guys, she shared a lot about her and her husband, Kevin, and their son, Jacob. They lost Jacob about 4 years ago when he was about 3 months old, and she just gets really real about what that was like, and it's incredible to hear their story because they were so faithful to God in the midst of what is a lot of our worst nightmare. And the way that God showed up in the midst of such pain is really incredible. So I think you guys are going to love to hear her story. I think you're going to be so encouraged. If you've ever experienced the loss of someone you love or been through any kind of grief or pain or bitterness, then I think you're going to be encouraged and inspired. And I think you're going to leave with a lot of hope because of what Kayla shares from her and her husband's life. And it was just so cool to get to talk to her. I hope that you guys enjoy this. I think you will. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Kayla. Enjoy. Hey, Kayla.
Hey, Brittany.
Welcome to the second episode of the Talk That Talk podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is super fun.
Yeah, this is really fun. So for those listening, Kayla and I have been friends for a while. I don't know how many years now, since I was a senior in high school. So feels like a long time.
It does feel like a long time.
Those are the good old days. So Kayla moved to Indiana when I was a junior in high school and started Young Life there with her husband, Kevin. And she became my Young Life leader. And now we're just best friends, and it's awesome. So, Kayla, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us a little bit about who you are for those listeners who don't know you.
Yeah, sure. Well, like you said, I'm Kayla, and I right now am just a stay-at-home mom, and my husband and I have four kids, which we'll get into later, and I have a we live in Lexington, Kentucky right now, but we grew up near Cincinnati, and both were involved in Young Life in high school, my husband and I, and we moved up to Pennsylvania a couple years after we got married, started Young Life there. My husband got a job with Young Life, and we're there for, gosh, I guess close to 3 years, and then moved back to Kentucky, where we are now, and my husband's on Young Life staff, and I am a stay-at-home mom to my 3-4 boys.
Yay, yay. Do you remember the first time we met?
Gosh, the first time we met, or the first time we really hung out? I don't know if I remember the first time we actually met.
I do.
Was it at club?
No.
Young Life?
Yeah. So it was at your house, and my friend Ashley had, she had been inviting me to Young Life stuff, and I continued to say, no, I didn't want to go. And then for some reason, she was like, I'm going over to Kayla's house for a Bible study. Do you want to come? And I was like, sure. So I came to your house for Bible study, and that's when we met for the first time. And we didn't really have Bible study. We just talked about probably other people and horrible things, and you just sat there and listened. And then Kevin came home with some guys, and then that's when I met him, and then he took us to McDonald's. I remember that.
Wow, you have a great memory, Brittany.
Yeah, you do not have a good memory.
I know.
But it's okay.
Not a great memory.
But yeah, the first time...
I do remember we hung out, and you took me home from club.
I took you home?
And you chatted my ear off. Yeah, I think you drove. And
to Altoona?
You drove me home. Yeah.
I swear, I was like, you drove.
This is sweet. Oh, well, I could have drove.
I think you did.
You have a better memory than me. Okay.
Because you picked me up from softball practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I do not remember.
You picked me
up. I remember you chatting with me the whole time.
Yeah. You're probably like, shut up.
No way. I was like, this, yay, a high school girl wants to be friends with me. This is amazing.
Yeah. Wow, that was awesome. Yeah, I remember that too. Man, That was great. I also remember the day that you and Kevin told me you were moving. That was a hard day, but...
That was.
You know, it's been good, and distance doesn't change friendship if you're really friends, so I think that's been true for us.
I was most nervous to tell you that we were moving because we had become such great friends, and I was really bummed that we are going to have to leave you behind.
Yeah, leave me in the dust. I'm just kidding.
I know.
But I think looking back, it was like that was a point in my walk with the Lord where I felt like when you guys moved, I was like, oh, this is, like, I have to own this without Kevin and Kayla a little bit, you know, like, this is, like, my own. Not that it wasn't before, but I think that was when I felt like I had to step up and, like, really mature a little bit. I went through some humbling experiences, but, so it was good. But anyway, so... Okay, so you moved to Lexington, what was that, the summer of 2013?
The summer of 2013, yep.
Yeah, okay.
The summer.
Okay, so you're down there, Kevin does Young Life College at UK, and then you guys get pregnant when, that fall?
Yeah, so at the time we had our first son, we lived in Pennsylvania, and at the time he was... going on three. He was almost three.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to get pregnant for a while. And it was different because when we got pregnant with our son, our first son, Connor, it took no time to get pregnant. And then with this second one, it was taking quite a bit longer. And, but somehow when we moved back to Kentucky, we got pregnant almost instantly after, I don't know, maybe a couple months of being here. And,
something in the air. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, apparently something in the air.
That wasn't funny.
Down here. So we got pregnant, and that's when we got pregnant with our second son.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
So tell us about what happens next. You get pregnant. I remember receiving that phone call. That was exciting. It was.
Yeah, it was. We were really excited. And at that point, because it had been quite a while, I mean, over a year, year and a half, that we'd kind of been wanting to have another baby, that we were really excited about it. And we were really, really thankful. Just really overwhelmed with thankfulness that we were able to get pregnant again, because it just took a little bit of time. So we were really thankful. And... my husband and I were doing Young Life College, in Lexington at UK, and, you know, just kind of getting adjusted to life back here in Kentucky. And we, you know, once we got pregnant, we were super excited. And then at 20 weeks, our 20 week ultrasound appointment, you know, they do all the anatomy exam.
Yeah.
And at that 20-week ultrasound was the point where life really changed for us. And at that appointment, we found out that our second son, Jacob, had a congenital heart defect. And we went and saw a bunch of doctors that day. It was kind of a whirlwind. And ended up, they said... It was very complex. They weren't really sure what was going on with it exactly, but they just knew it looked something like this, and that there could be three surgeries that he could have in the first few years of his life that could hopefully get him through the type of defect that he had. So that was a pivotal moment in our lives, to say the least.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So walk me through, like, you're in that room and the doctor, like, comes in and gives you that news. Like, what is going through your mind at that point? Because I've never been in a situation like that. Like, are you just in total shock? Are you, like, processing right away? Or, like, what does your mind run to in that moment?
When the doctor came in, and she told us instantly, right away, I mean, there's nothing that can really prepare you for that.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm an internal processor at times, and I heard it, and then throughout the day we saw all these different doctors, and they all had such a puzzled look on their face about what they were seeing on the monitor with his heart, and I just got more and more anxious, you know, as the day went on, and
yeah,
it was super scary, and I was really fearful, and yeah, I think I was just really afraid of what I was. I'm someone that thinks of the worst situation, so that maybe if the worst doesn't happen, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
So I tend to think of what could happen.
Yep.
And so that brought a lot of fear out in me, for sure.
Yeah, dude, I do the same thing. Okay, so after that day, walk me through, like, the next couple months. Like, what did you guys find out at the next appointment? Or just walk me through kind of that process, if you can.
Yeah, so after that, we would see a cardiologist for our son Jacob, and we had several appointments, and the end result was always the same. They thought it was this one thing and that he would just need surgery. So they just kept a close eye on me throughout my whole the rest of the pregnancy. And we would go up to Columbus to their children's hospital there to have a cardiologist check it out, check everything out up there. And it wasn't until my 32-week appointment that we found out. We went up to Columbus for, you know, just a routine visit, and that is when we found out that they said his heart was in heart failure, and that he may not make it to the due date. He may not make it to term. So that was obviously the worst news I think you could get as well. And that was a hard day for us. And our doctor was really sweet and really kind, and just took all the time with us and asked. We were able to ask all our questions, and she kind of walked us through what this would look like. And she ended up saying, "So what? You know, our two options. We had a couple options at this point. One was we could go up to Columbus and have our baby in Columbus and have him hooked up to some machines and wait for if he were to make it through labor, we could wait for a heart transplant, because he would need a heart transplant.
And didn't they say that he would need a new heart, like, every 10 years of his life or something?
Yeah, heart transplants don't last, you know, you don't just get one and last forever. I think the longest, I'm not even sure how long the longest heart transplant, someone who's had a heart transplant lasts, but I think maybe 10 to 15 years it lasts.
Gosh. Okay. You
know. Yeah. So it was pretty scary.
Heavy.
They said, your other option is you can stay in Lexington and you have your baby there, and you just, if he makes it through labor, you just hold him as long as you can, as long as time allows. So we were left with that decision, and which was horrible and horrifying.
Yeah.
Because my husband and I were like, how are we supposed to make a decision like this?
Yeah.
And during that time really wrestled with the Lord about how we are supposed to make a decision like this, because
yeah,
on one hand, you as a parent, you want to do all that you can to save your baby, to save your kid. On the other hand, we weren't really sure if moving up to Columbus and keeping him on machines for however long, just to risk maybe getting this heart transplant and him maybe making it through the heart transplant surgery and putting him through all of that, was really saving him. And that was just for us. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who have to make decisions like this. And my husband and I, we are not judgmental of anyone or any decision, or we're not saying that anything is, that heart transplants are wrong or
right, yeah,
anything like that, because there have been lots of successful things. But for our particular son, we just weren't sure. We kind of wrestled through that. And so we're praying through this, and our doctor in Columbus allowed us to talk to the heart transplant team up in Columbus, and they looked at our son's heart, and then we had this phone conversation with them. And before we talked to them on the phone, we were praying and asked God that he would just be very clear on the decision that we were supposed to make.
Yeah.
And so we talked to the doctors, and they went through our son's heart and each kind of complication that he had. And basically they were like, this is what we do. We're the heart transplant team here in Columbus. So we see lots of success rates with this.
Right.
But we also see the other side of it. And this is your son and you can do what you want, but you know, your son's condition is not super favorable for a heart defect.
Okay.
Or for a heart transplant. And at that moment, I think we both maybe busted into tears, because we knew what the end result would be in this case. And we were also felt like that was what the Lord was leading us to, decision-wise. Yeah. So it ended up being that they were like, we don't think he would do well at all with this type of complication that he has. So after that conversation, we ended up staying in Lexington and feeling like the Lord had kind of made that decision for us. And we stayed in Lexington and we had him, and he made it through labor. And
which was freaking crazy, right? I mean, that was...
Yeah.
That was a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of was a miracle. I mean... he made it through labor, and they checked him out right away, and they said, yeah, like everything, it looks exactly what we thought it did. He was a little miracle, and he made it through birth. And so, they're like, you just take all the time that you want with him. So we held him, and we let family come, and everyone held him and took lots of pictures. And, you know, a day passed, he was still, you know, still kicking. And so we're like, okay, well, we'll just keep holding him. And, you know, a couple of days passed in the hospital, and the doctors were like, do you want to take him home? You know, you guys can leave. And we didn't think he'd be here this long, but you guys can take him home instead of staying in the hospital. So we were like, obviously, yes, we'll take him home. We would love to take him home. But we didn't have a car seat because we didn't bring... They told us we weren't going to be able to bring him home from the hospital. So we had nothing ready. We didn't have anything. We didn't have baby clothes out. We didn't have a car seat out. We had nothing. So, you know, it was all in storage up in our attic or something. So we had family come and get that stuff for us. And we were able to bring him home from the hospital, which was super fun. And our oldest son, Connor, was really sweet and loved him a lot, and it was sweet to see him with Jacob. And Yeah, so we got to bring him home from the hospital, and we never laid him in a crib. We held him around the clock. I mean, someone was always
Always
with
holding
him.
him, yeah.
Someone was always holding him, and he lived with us and was in our house with us for 91 days until the Lord took him back home.
Yeah.
And it was every day we had with him was truly a gift because we didn't never think we would have that time with him. And so each day, even though the older he got, the more attached you become,
Yeah.
each day was truly just a gift that we were thankful that God let us have one more day with him. And it was he was a blessing to our lives in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, I remember all this happening to like talking to you through it, but it's just, I don't know. It's hard to put into words what that had to have been like. And I think anyone who hears that story, like automatically, I think the question arises, like when you get that news, that, he may not make it to term, and then in Columbus that he, like, heart surgery wasn't, maybe the best outcome for Jacob. Like, did you struggle with God? Like, how did you, I don't know, believe in those moments that, like, God was still good, or that God was still for you, or still for Jacob? Like, what were your prayers like in that time? Because I feel like I just would have been like, God, what the freaking heck? Like, why are you doing this? And it would have been, I think, a really hard decision that anyone would have to make of like, okay, I'm either going to push God aside because I'm angry with him, or I'm going to press in further because he's all I have, right?
Yeah. I'd say, through all of this, I no longer judge anyone for how they get through any circumstance because you don't know what it's like until you're in something like this,
Yeah.
So I look at people and I'm like, you just get through it however you need to get through it because
Yeah.
it can be hard. It was hard. It was, we were just really sad about everything, and
Yeah.
I think oftentimes I would just sit and I would be at a loss for what to pray for or how to pray, or
Yeah.
it was just I felt like I was constantly processing, and for me personally, I had to hold on tight to the Lord because I knew without it, without him and without it, I would be lost, and I would be way more in the dark and fuzzy than I already felt. And so, yeah, it was. I mean, my husband and I, we talked a lot. I mean, obviously, we talked a lot through all of that, and we helped each other through our feelings and our thoughts. For me personally, I mostly wrestled with, like, why is this happening to me? You think it happens to other people, but until it happens to you.
Yeah.
And that was hard because I feel like my whole life I've compared myself to everyone else. I didn't, I never, I'm the type of person that I don't ever want to be extreme in either way. I just want to fit right in with the crowd and just keep with everyone else. And which is not where my focus should be. And with Jacob, this put me in a place where I felt like, oh, I don't know anyone that's gone through anything like this.
Yeah.
I've become the that girl that happened to.
Right.
And I hated that. It was uncomfortable, and it was hard. We cried a lot, and there was a moment for me that I'm in the shower and I'm crying, and I'm out loud said, God, I feel like I'm all alone. Like, why is this happening to me? And no one else knows what this feels like. And in that moment, I felt like the Lord was like, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to lose your son. I know what it's like to feel on the outside. And in that moment, I felt that the Lord's presence, that the incarnation is true. And it was, you know, it was really with me, and his spirit is really with me. And that's a game changer.
Yeah.
And I felt like I always, you know, that,
right.
You know, as someone who knows the Lord and follows him, you get the Holy Spirit and you get him always being with you and never leaving you. But in that moment, it changed. It all of it changed. It felt like it became so real, and it became tangible to me, where I felt like it was very tangible, and I never felt like that before. And it changed me for the rest of my life. And, and for that, I'm really thankful for, because I feel like I have this real hope that I never really experienced before.
Yeah.
And that carried me through that time, and not in a way where I felt like, I'm like, oh, I feel so great all the time. I feel so happy. And, oh, man, I can just skip on through these days. This is piece of cake.
Right.
Not like that, but in a way where my hands were just kind of flat out.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, okay, God, I don't understand any of this. And this definitely doesn't feel good. And I feel confused, and I feel a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to trust that in this hope that you've given me, and trust that this is all for my good, your glory, further your kingdom, even though I don't know why. I didn't need the question why, you know, to be answered.
Right. Which takes a lot, because we always want to know why. But it's, you came to a point where it was like, having the answer isn't as important as like who you are, and trusting that your character is true and consistent. But it's pathetic, because while you were going through that, I was going through a breakup. And I remember I was in a lot of pain at that time too. But like, it was a gift to see you and Kevin suffer well, I guess, if that's okay to say it like that. Like, watching you guys continue to be faithful to the Lord and like wrestle, but just cling to him and proclaim like his goodness in the midst of that horrible, just doesn't make sense situation. Was so convicting for me, because I was like, Britt, you're literally, this is nothing compared to what they're going through. And if God is for them in that, then like, he has to be for me in this. And you started a blog right before Jacob was born. Just kind of detailing like your emotions and you and Kevin's thoughts as you processed what was going to happen and what was happening. And that was awesome for me to read, and for a lot of people to read, I think. And I think you guys show people that Jesus is real, and he is good, and he is truly all that we need in everything. That he's enough. And I think I learned from that too, that the difference between joy and happiness from you guys going through that like, happiness is this, you know, emotion, this feeling of, yeah, everything, you know, whatever, you're happy. And we talk about being joyful as Christians, and I don't think joyful necessarily all the time looks like smiling and being happy. I think it's a deeper thing that, like, in the midst of pain or just blah or happiness, that there's like a deep rooted truth, or that presence, maybe that hope that you are okay because of Jesus, and Jacob is okay because of Jesus, and that he's enough. It's like a deeper rooted belief, I guess. Do you feel like that's true?
Yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, the Lord has been working way before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Like way before I was born. He's been there since the beginning, and he's been at work all along. His plan has been weaved through people, sinful people, good people, throughout all since the beginning of time. And I'm just a little tiny speck in that, in his plan that he's been weaving through. And I think when I look back at my life and what's been going on and things with Jacob, I just think he's always been at work.
Mm-hmm.
Even in something as horrible as losing your 3-month-old son,
mm-hmm.
he's always been faithful. You look back at the people in the Bible and people in life, and when you read books about people and you see the faithfulness of the Lord, that it is, for me personally, it's hard to question, like, why, God? It's hard because, mm-hmm. not that it's a wrong question to ask, but for me, I've seen the Lord building a trust in me, mm-hmm. throughout my entire life. And through what we went through with Jacob, that was another piece of him saying, I've got you, Kayla. And that was just his way of building the trust that I have in him, because he was able to get me through it. And, you know, I'm alive. I didn't die from pain somehow. Right. And
gosh, I know.
And not only that, but not to say that I'm not never sad or,
right.
or there's, it's not painful, because that's a lie. You know, I get sad all the time and I think about Jacob all the time. And when I think about it, there is this aching pain and within the depths of my soul that I never knew my soul was that deep, that the pain lies. And man, it is there, and it is, I feel it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But right next to that pain is, or wrapped in that pain, I'm not sure, is this comfort where in the depths of my pain, where I didn't even know it could go that deep, there's Jesus. And he's right there in that pain. And he's saying, I'm here. I've been here with you the whole time. I've experienced this pain too. And more than that, I've experienced more pain, you know, I've experienced it for you and with you. And I rose from the dead. I conquered death. And I came back to life so that you can have new life. And so that Jacob can have new life.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can hold on to that hope that I conquered death, that I died for you on the cross, the sin in your life I took the punishment for, and I came back to life so that you can have new life right here on earth, so that you can get through the hard things like losing your baby,
mm-hmm.
and new life for after you die, that you don't have to be afraid of death, that I have conquered it, and that I will see you through even death, because I myself conquered death. So you can't, I have done that for you. And so I feel like the Lord's faithfulness is so, I mean, just like red hot when you look back at the Bible and people and this, when you read books about people in your own life specifically, it's just so there.
Yeah.
When you look at it, and at least for me, that it's brought me through it.
Yeah. I think that's something I love about Jesus, is that he does feel with you, like you said, and he knows what it feels like. And not only that, but he, like when he died on the cross, he didn't just pay for like our sin, you know, like individually, like he paid for the sin and the brokenness of the world. So you guys had kind of like a mantra for that time, right? And it was, the end has not been written and all things will be made new. And not only like in heaven will we forget that those bad things happened, but like they will be made right.
Oh, yeah.
Which is incredible. Okay, so you have this beautiful gift of 91 days with Jacob, and then the Lord takes him home. Talk about what the heck it was like after and, you know, just the few months after that and what that was like.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard because we were a family of four and now we're a family of three.
Yeah.
And that was hard because, you know, you're missing one. We are missing one. And it was really hard for us with our son, Connor, who was about to turn four at the time. And he loved Jacob and he loved to hold him and play with him. And so that was heartbreaking as a mom to watch your, you know, four-year-old have to lose his little brother. Mm-hmm. And that was hard to answer those questions that he had. Yeah, that was, it was hard. It was around, you know, he died at the end of October and it was around the holidays were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time I felt like I didn't want to get involved in anything. I just kind of wanted to be by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind talking about it all because it helped me to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it helped me to verbalize things because even though I am this introverted that needs time to internally process things, I also needed to get it out. You know, it was too heavy. It was too heavy and too much to keep it all into myself. I needed people. And I had a couple people that just, you know, you being one of them, that just were there to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk and to get it out because the weight of it all was, I felt very heavy.
Yeah.
My physical body and my emotional state was just heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that for a while, you know, for several months to a year. I just felt like it was heavy. I felt bitter, I think, towards people that they didn't get it.
Yeah.
They didn't know what we just went through, or they would try to compare themselves to us by saying we went through this or that. And at the time I felt like that I was being like the judge of people where I'm like, that is not worthy of that. That's not a thing. That's not a problem.
Right.
You're telling me this, but you're going to be fine to get through that test or whatever it was that I felt like wasn't worthy of my time.
Right.
And so that was hard. I felt like I was harboring some, bitterness, just where I felt like I were just judging people. And then,
which I think everyone could probably relate to. I mean, I think that's a very normal feeling.
Yeah. It wasn't one that I enjoyed having or that I wanted to have, but I just powered through it somehow. I don't know. I just kind of let it be.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year after everything, I started going to this Bible study and we were studying Revelation, and it was so healing for me. Number one, to be around, and we still did, we were still, and obviously we were doing Young Life still. My husband was still working for Young Life. So we still went to everything that we wanted, that we needed to or wanted to go to with Young Life. But I felt like I wasn't super present when I was there and wasn't super engaging when I was there because it was just hard for me to take on someone else's heaviness when I had such this heaviness myself that I was walking around with.
Yeah.
And so, so I was there, you know, during that time, that year, but I wasn't actually there, I feel like. And
right.
Yeah. But then I started going to this Bible study. We started studying Revelation and it brought so much healing to me. I don't know if it was time or studying Revelation or being around people to talk about it and to share our story brought so much healing to me. And it just renewed this sense of hope that I had and that the Lord had given me hope of what's to come, of that there's going to be no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more death one day. But that also right now I can have so much, I can have joy even in the midst of what I went through. And that was super healing for me.
And this is through BSF, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bible Study Fellowship, BSF. Okay. And, you know, I've been involved in BSF ever since, and we're still doing Young Life. And since then, it's just, there's been lots of healing, and there's been lots of blessings, and We've had two other babies since 2014. This mm-hmm. Jacob was born in 2014. And then in 2016, we had another baby boy, Bennett, who is now
Bennett
2.5. Mm-hmm. And then,
gosh, I love Bennett.
This year in July, yeah, he's funny. And then in July of this year, we had another little boy, Hudson. We only make boys in our family, so
for real, dog.
I've had four boys. Yep, there's lots of boys in our family. So
yeah,
but you know, each of them have been
yeah
incredible blessings to our family. I mean, just such a gift to us.
Yeah.
And I'm just so thankful for them. Each time I got pregnant, I was terrified, but also mm-hmm. just incredibly thankful to be able to have another baby and for them to be healthy little babies.
Yeah.
And I have tried to just cherish every single moment of their lives because it goes by, it goes by fast. And I just missed out on that with Jacob, and
yeah.
not that any of them would ever replace
right.
Jacob, but
yeah,
but it's just been awesome to just soak in every little time,
yeah.
even when you're up in the middle of the night and they're crying, just to soak in every little minute because they're a gift from the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's just been, sweet. And we still, you know, we still tell Jacob's story whenever we feel like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Lord's leading us to, because it changed it. My husband and I both, I mean, Kevin and I both, it changed us.
Yeah.
And it grew us and stretched us. And for me, it allowed me to have such, it widened my scope of who God mm-hmm. is. It allowed me to see a little bit more of who God is through Jacob and in ways that
you might not have, yeah.
Might not have. And do I want to go through that again? No, never.
Yeah. No.
But you know what, it happened, and so I just, you know, I don't want to waste anything that we go through,
mm-hmm.
you know, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
Everything you go through in your life is an opportunity for the Lord to continue to build this trust that mm. he's trying to build in us. You know, like everything is something that God can be like, hey, right, this right here, in the good and the bad, I'm just building this trust between you and me. Because it's mm. just about you and me. It's not about you and everyone else or what I'm doing in that person's life or what I'm not doing in that person's life or da 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 da. It's just about you and me. And I am going to see you through. I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to show you I'm going to be faithful through all these things that you go through in your life, because I'm going to show up each time. And that, because of those times that he shows up, you can look back. Like, Kayla, I want you to look back and see all the times that I've been faithful and trust that, and let your trust build as you look back and see how faithful I've been, so that yeah. what's to come ahead, whatever may lie ahead in my life, good or bad, you can know that I'm for you always, and that I'm never going to leave you, and that that I love you, and that this hope and living for me is worth it.
Gosh, that's so good. I think we all want to trust him more, and sometimes, yeah, that's, you know, we have to go through things like that in order to, you know, he uses those things to build our trust in him. But I think that's also, that's something that we all desire, because it's hard to trust the Lord. But when he becomes so real to you and something like that, I mean, that in and of itself is a gift in the midst of a lot of pain. But thanks for sharing that. Thanks yeah. for sharing your story. I have one other question too, because I think we talked about this maybe a little bit when you were going through it, but a lot of times this stuff can like ruin marriages, right? So how did you and Kevin like stay strong as a couple and like not let this kind of come between you or isolate yourselves in your own pain and like neglect the other person, kind of a thing? Like, how did you continue to care for one another while you were so heavy yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we first found out about Jacob, they brought in some counselors because of the very high percentage that marriages don't make it through things like this. And So we were really aware of that going into it. And we just talked a lot. We talked a lot to each other, and we also let each other have their own space. You know, mm-hmm. each of us needed to grieve in our own way or have our own kind of time with the Lord about whatever we were going through. So we gave each other space on just, hey, I'm going to let you go over there and just cry because you need to do that. But we just talked a lot and
that's awesome.
About how we were feeling
and
specifically about Jacob and wanting to make sure that we were on the same page with everything that we were walking through, you know, and felt like, we just talked a lot and we
made a point to do that. Yeah.
Questions to the doc. Yeah. We just made a point to do that. And any questions we had for the doctors, we would ask them and we would talk about them and we just would always make sure we were on the same page with everything. And so I feel like that was helpful. And, and just when you go through something like what we went through,
mm-hmm.
you feel kind of like alone, but it's nice to know that when you're in this darkness that you can look right next to you and know that your husband's there with you. You know, like Kevin was right there next to me and that he's going through this too. And that also
probably brings you closer in a way.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely brought us closer, as a husband and wife. But it just to know that they're in that kind of fog with you is kind of gives you some like softens your heart a little bit to know that like, hey, they're going through this too. You know, like I can't be getting all mad at him about something silly because, you know, he's going through something. He's losing his son too. You know?
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So what would you say to someone right now who's either like just experienced a devastating loss or has just received some news like you guys received or is just kind of in that moment of like, why is this happening to me? Like, what would you mm-hmm. want to say to them?
I would say I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you just need someone to say, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
It is not meant to be. Like this. Mm. You're not supposed to go through these things. And, you know, I think it's important to talk to someone, whether it be your best friend, whether it be a counselor, whether it be your husband, whoever. You need to get it out. You need mm-hmm. to not keep it in, you know, mm-hmm. even for someone like me who's not like, hey, I'm going to go talk to all these strangers and just tell them all how I feel. Like, that is super uncomfortable for me. But for someone like me that I need to get it out, I needed to get it out. You know, I knew that was too much for me to
hold,
to fight through myself,
mm-hmm,
to hold on to myself. And so just making sure that you have someone that will just sit and listen to you and not necessarily
mm-hmm.
tell you what you should do or how you should feel. Just someone who is safe that you can say what you are feeling and that they won't judge you for it. They won't say like, oh, honey, you should not be feeling those things.
Right.
You know, if someone tells you that, just find someone else.
Yeah. You know? You're like, moving on.
Nope. Just go ahead and move on. Because in those times you might have lots of feelings and mm-hmm. it's okay. I think it's okay to just let yourself feel however you're feeling, just let yourself feel it. And then just in the hard times, you just can't stay there.
Right.
You can't stay there with your sadness. I mean, maybe for a little bit, but you mm-hmm. can't stay there for a long time, which is why you need to talk to someone to get it out.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of climb you out of that. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, for me, it was sitting and praying, even though I wasn't really praying a lot because I was just didn't even know what to pray or how to feel or think. it was so foggy, I think, for me of, I don't even know what to say, God. I just know that I trust you and I love you, and I don't feel super awesome right now. I don't feel like, oh, God loves me so much. I don't feel that, but I'm going to say the words out loud because I've known it to be true in the past. And so I know that it's got to be true right now, even though I don't feel it, you know? And that was big for me, you know?
Yeah. And I think too, like going back to what you said about, talking to someone who gives you the freedom to just say how you feel and not judge you. Like, I think that is so important because kind of like you were dealing with that bitterness towards other people who just didn't get it. Like, there's going to be things that you feel in, whether it's grief or, you know, whether it's like grieving a person or grieving like a dream or grieving, you know, something else in your life. Like, it's weird and you're going to feel things that like you don't want to feel, like that bitterness. And if you just keep that to yourself, like that's just going to build into like shame and guilt, and like that's going to manifest itself in a very unhealthy way. So like you need the freedom to be able to say like, I want to punch that person in the face right now. And there's no part of me that wants to like sit in that group and hear about other people's problems. Like, you need to be able to be that honest with someone, I think, so that one, you can receive grace, and two, so that it doesn't just manifest in you and take over your soul, like you were kind of talking about. Like, if we keep it in the dark, that's where it has power. So I think that's really important. And then, okay, so like for someone who has a loved one going through that, like how, what kind of advice would you give to like a friend or a family member or someone who cares about someone who's going through something like this? Because we, you know, I think we so often want to just like fix the problem for our loved ones, and that can be very insensitive in the moment. So like, yeah, what advice would you give people around loved ones who are going through something like really awful like that?
I would say first thing is, for me, what was really helpful was someone was there to say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I didn't, and I felt like, I don't, the power of those words are so like freeing in one sense, because it gives you the freedom to just feel like, okay, yes, thank you. Thank you for feeling sorry and recognizing that this is not how it's meant to be.
Right.
And that,
like, my feelings are validated.
Yes, my feelings are validated. And so I feel like someone saying that to me was like, thanks. Like, I really felt the weight of those words. But I think just letting the person talk, and like you said, not trying to fix them or tell them how they should feel, just kind of let them feel what they're feeling. But just let them just be a person that they can come to that they know this person is going to listen and not judge me, and just kind of listen to me say how I'm feeling. And then I would say there are times when people would text me and check in on me, and I would be really thankful for that. I think a lot of people, if they would see me on the street or wherever in the store, they would say, oh, hi. And we would just be chit-chatting about the weather or whatever. But no one would want to ask me how I'm doing because they didn't want to make me upset or make me feel uncomfortable. And that was hard for me because I'm like, clearly I'm still having a hard time. You can ask me. It's okay. It is okay to make me feel upset, you know, because.
Well, and like, let's just address the elephant in the room that like, yes. Like, don't. I mean, this is your reality, and I'm sure that felt a little bit like, hey, like, recognize this, hello, like, you know what I mean?
Yes. You know, I don't know, you kind of have to use your judgment on situations like that. I mean, I don't know, if you see them running in the park, maybe you don't want to shout out, like, hey, how are you doing? You know, use your judgment. But, you know, if you see them out and about, someone who, like, a friend of yours, I feel like I most often say something now to someone when I said that maybe has gone through something hard, than not address it at all. Because for me, I wish more people would have done that. And even still, no one asks me about it anymore. Oh, very few people ask me, how are you doing with all with that, you know? But I mean, very few people ask me about it. My husband and I talk about it all the time. But you know, my husband and I, it's like Kevin and I, we feel like people just don't ask us about it anymore, and that's okay. You know, not people. People have their own lives, and it's not their lives are not to serve us. You know, and always check up on us and ask us how we're doing.
But no, I think
but
that's
every now and again.
Yeah,
it would be nice for someone to kind of ask how are you doing with. Every, you know, it's been 5 years since, or 4 years,
4 years
since Jacob
yeah.
died. How's it, how, that's a long time. How are you doing? Or, so, you know, just checking up with people, but
I think
the
that's
main
important,
thing I would say
yeah.
is to listen to them and let them, let them talk. And
yeah.
Don't say what you feel like is comparable to their pain, because everyone. And even if you've gone through, like, if you yourself have lost a baby, it's nice for someone to be like, for me, it's nice. I've met a couple people since then that have said I lost my son too. And it's nice to hear other people's stories. But for someone to not say, I know exactly how you feel, I would say you don't know exactly how I feel, even if you went through the same thing, because me and you are different people, and we feel different things, and we, you know, and it's different. And you should share your story if you, like I said, the people that have came up to me that said, I lost my son too. I love that they've came up to me and tell me that story, because it is nice to know that someone has gone through almost the exact same thing I have,
but it's still different.
For someone to be like, I know, but it's different, you know, it's not more hard or less hard than what they went through, but it's just different, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And I know, yeah, I think I'm guilty of that, like not asking you about it. And I do think there's like this fear of, I don't want to like upset them or make them feel uncomfortable. But I mean, if I were in a situation like that, like I would want to be asked too, because like, this is my reality, and it's just being a good friend to, like, recognize, like, this is what my friend is going through, even 4 years later, you know, and especially this time of year, too. I'm sure that's hard for you guys. So I think that's just good for me to hear, too, knowing how I can love you better, but...
Yeah, and I would say, you know, people, you can always, you can ask people, hey, how are you doing? And a person like me, if someone says, hey, how are you doing? I have the choice to be like, oh, I'm good. Or to go further and to say, it's been really hard because blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
you are give at least you're, it's okay if I say, you know, inside, I'm like, I don't feel like talking about it. I'm just going to say it's good.
Right.
And that's good. But at least I know for me, I'm like, even though I don't feel like talking about it, thanks for asking. That was
right.
Thoughtful
yeah,
of you.
Yeah.
Made me feel loved that you asked that, even though I just denied the response.
Right. Even though I shut you down.
Yeah.
I think that's really good advice, though. Man, dude, thanks for going there and sharing that. I think this is, I was really excited that you were willing to come on and share, because I think, like, so many people will be encouraged by this and will just take your words to heart. And I mean, especially this time of year with the holidays coming up, like, not everyone is joyful and happy around this time of year. People are grieving and people are lonely, and so I think this was so important, and I'm just glad that, you know, Jacob's story will continue to be told, I think, forever. Yeah. I do. So, thanks. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Fun chit-chatting with you.
Yeah.
Always.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks again, Kayla. We will talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.